Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q1 FY21 earnings conference call of Glenmark Pharmaceuticals Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Jason D'Souza. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Janice. Apologies for the delay in the earnings call. We had a problem with the audio bridge. We'll begin Glenmark's Q1 earnings call. Before we start the review of the operations for the quarter ended June 30th, 2020, for the first quarter FY21, Glenmark's consolidated revenue was at 23,447 million, recording an increase of 0.94%. Business update on account of the COVID situation. The COVID-19 pandemic had a significant impact in India as the entire country was under lockdown in April and most part of May. While the pharmaceutical plants, being essential services, were allowed to operate, it was challenging to run our production facilities in the month of March and April. By the middle of May, things started to settle down. Glenmark's manufacturing units managed to stabilize. Production logistics were also in place to ensure uninterrupted supplies. Across all our markets, the operating environment demand improved in June compared to April, May, as the lockdown was lifted in many countries. From June till date, India has seen a significant surge in COVID-19 cases. This is leading to increasing number of COVID-19 cases at our manufacturing facilities. At Glenmark, we have a strong commitment and robust processes to ensure employee safety in these challenging times. We have instituted stringent SOPs to protect employees and their families. At the same time, we remain committed to our patients across the world and have put in place contingency plans to prevent medicine shortages for our patients. Over to the business. GPL India sales from the formulation business in India for the first quarter FY21 was 7,798 million, recording growth of 3.68%. The Indian business continued to outperform the industry growth as per IQVIA Q1 FY21, recording growth of 5.5% as compared to the IPM degrowth of 1.8%. In terms of market share, Glenmark's India business strengthened its position in its core therapy areas such as cardiac, diabetes, and respiratory. In a landmark development for COVID-19 patients in India, after successfully conducting phase III clinical trials, Glenmark became the first company to develop and launch an antiviral drug, favipiravir, brand name Faviflu, for the treatment of mild to moderate COVID-19 patients in June 2020. Glenmark received manufacturing and marketing approval from India's drug regulator as part of the accelerated approval process considering the emergency situation of the COVID-19 outbreak in India. The approval's restricted use entails responsible medication use where every patient must have signed informed consent before treatment initiation. Till date, Glenmark is the only company to have conducted a phase III clinical trials on Indian patients with favipiravir. Glenmark is also conducting another combination study along with umifenovir, and those results also will be there shortly. Glenmark also recently introduced a 400 mg version of oral antifavipiravir Faviflu for the treatment of mild to moderate COVID-19 in India. The higher strength will improve patient compliance and experience by effectively reducing the number of tablets that patients require per day. During the quarter, Glenmark introduced a 3-in-1 inhaler therapy, AirFZ, for COPD in India, promising reduced risk of severe attacks and improvement in lung function. Glenmark's novel patent-protected, globally researched SGLT2 remoglufosin etobonate continues to do well in India. Glenmark is the first company in the world to launch remoglufosin, and the response from KOLs has been extremely encouraging. Glenmark's consumer care business. The FMCG industry faced headwinds in the first quarter of the financial year with a 17% decline in sales, and the GCC business also reflected a similar trend. The business delivered an overall top-line value of 310.8 million in the first quarter with a decline of 15%, excluding VWash sales. The U.S. business. Glenmark Pharmaceuticals' U.S. revenue was 7,426 million, $98.51 million for the quarter ended, recording growth of 1.61%. In the first quarter of the financial year, Glenmark was granted final approval and launched chloroxone tablets 375 mg and 750 mg. In addition, Glenmark launched further two tablets. One additional approval was obtained for fingolimod capsules 0.5 mg. The company filed three ANDA applications with the US FDA and plans to file additional three applications in the forthcoming quarter. As part of its investigation into various generic pharmaceutical companies regarding antitrust violations, the United States Department of Justice filed an indictment in the United States District Court for the Eastern District of Pennsylvania, which charges the company with one count of conspiracy to restrain trade. The indictment asserts that Glenmark engaged in a conspiracy to suppress and eliminate competition by agreeing to increase and maintain prices of pravastatin and other generic drugs sold in the United States. These charges run contrary to the very essence of Glenmark to drive down drug prices and improve patient access to medications. We strongly disagree with the false allegations being advanced by the Justice Department and do not believe the evidence supports the case. We will continue to vigorously defend against these charges, and we are confident the overwhelming evidence will make that clear. Glenmark's marketing portfolio through June 30, 2020 consists of 164 generic products authorized for distribution in the U.S. Africa, Asia and CIS region. For the first quarter, revenue from Africa, Asia and CIS region was $2120 million, recording a degrowth of -18.05%. In the first quarter of the financial year, secondary sales for the Russian subsidiary showed 23.2% degrowth in value. The Russia business continued to be subdued in the first quarter, and currency devaluation further impacted the business. In the first quarter of the financial year, most of the Asian markets observed lockdown due to COVID-19, which impacted patient flow to the clinic or hospital OPD. Due to this, the Asia region continued to be under pressure, registering secondary degrowth, sales degrowth of -9% for the first quarter of the financial year. The Philippine subsidiary, which is the largest, was impacted severely in terms of sales. The Africa region was also impacted due to the pandemic. Glenmark's Europe operations for the first quarter recorded growth of 12.77%. The Western European business recorded good growth in the first quarter on account of the growth in the US, UK subsidiary and the Nordic region. The UK subsidiary managed to gain some good business opportunities presented due to competition being unable to serve the market. The Nordic region performed well with the launch of Salmex across most Nordic markets. The UK and German subsidiary launched 3 products during the quarter. Latin America. Glenmark's revenue from its Latin America was at $658 million, recording degrowth of -18.89%. The Brazilian subsidiary recorded good growth in constant currency on account of the 3 in-licensed products. However, due to the lockdown, the Mexico subsidiary degrew by 33%, which impacted the performance in the region. Further, the performance in the region was impacted due to all currencies weakening in the quarter. Ryaltris. Ryaltris nasal spray is the company's respiratory pipeline asset and is currently under review in the US FDA as a treatment for seasonal allergic rhinitis in the US. During the first quarter, Glenmark's partner Seqirus enabled the commercial launch of Ryaltris in Australia. Glenmark plans to initiate commercial launch in South Africa and Namibia in the second quarter of the financial year. Glenmark is also supporting its partner in South Korea, Yuan Corporation, to launch Ryaltris in early 2021. So far, Glenmark has received approval for Ryaltris in Australia, South Korea, Cambodia, Ukraine, Uzbekistan, Namibia, and South Africa. Glenmark's partner in China, Grand Pharmaceuticals, plans to submit an INDA in the third quarter of this financial year. A pre-IND meeting application was submitted to the CDE in the first quarter of the year. GBR310, the company is in discussions with potential partners and is targeting to conclude a deal before initiating phase 3 studies. GRC39815, this compound is currently in preclinical development and the company plans to initiate a phase 1 study shortly. Glenmark Life Sciences Limited, GLS. For the first quarter, external sales from Glenmark Life Sciences was at $2348 million. Recording growth of 1.83%. The growth for the first quarter remained almost flat due to the initial impact on supplies due to COVID-19. The Indian market experienced strong growth at 19%, while the other regions had muted growth. Ichnos Sciences. For the first quarter ended June 30th, Glenmark invested $1734 million as compared to $1900 million invested in the corresponding quarter of the previous year. For further updates on the pipeline and the organization, please log on to www.ichnossciences.com. The pipeline for the first quarter of the financial year is published on the site. Just some notes before we open the Q&A. R&D expenditure for the quarter was 254 crores at 10.84% of sales. Forex gain in other income was to the extent of 40 crores in the first quarter. Gross debt was at 4851 crores as on June 30, 2020 as compared to 4868 crores as on March 31, 2020. Net cash was at 1249 crores as on June 30, 2020. Net debt was at 3602 crores as on June 30, 2020 as compared to 3758 crores as on March 31, 2020. In constant currency, net debt was down by 180 crores as compared to March 31, 2020. Inventory was at 2185 crores as on June 30, 2020 as compared to 2136 crores as on March 31st. Receivables was at 2455 crores as compared to 2409 crores on March 31st. Payables was at 2055 crores as on June 30th as compared to 2126 crores as on March 31st. Total asset addition for the quarter was at 130 crores for the first quarter of this financial year. Before we open the floor for Q&A, I would like to introduce the members of Glenmark Management. We have Glenn Saldana, Chairman and Managing Director, Glenmark Pharmaceuticals, V.S. Money, Executive Director and CFO, Glenmark Pharmaceuticals, and Robert Crockart, Chief Commercial Officer, Glenmark Pharmaceuticals Limited. With that, we would like to open the floor for Q&A. Over to you, moderator.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handset while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. A reminder to the participants, if you have a question, please press star then one on your touchtone telephone. This is a reminder to all participants connected to this conference. If you have a question, please press star then one on your touchtone telephone. We take the first question from the line of Neha Manpuria from JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Thank you for taking my question. My first question is on the U.S. business. Could you give a little more color on the quarter-on-quarter decline and what are the trends you're seeing in July and August in terms of recovery?
Good morning, Neha. This is Robert here. So, first of all, I think it's fair to say that we've had some challenges in quarter one in the U.S., and it's due to several reasons, right? We've had some challenges around the price erosion in the derma section, and also on the competition on Meprosin. We do actually have seen that this is now stabilized, and we expect from this quarter, quarter two onwards, to get quarter-on-quarter growth.
And this growth would be driven by our new launches contributing, because we've not seen a very sharp pickup in our new launches or any limited competition launches come through.
So I think, Neha, we are expecting some launches in this quarter. So hopefully that should come through and you should see some growth coming out of the new launches.
Okay, understood. How many launches are we targeting for this year, Glenn?
Typically, 8 to 10 is what we think we will achieve this year in terms of new launches.
You mentioned, derma price erosion. What is the level of price erosion that we saw? If you could give some color on that. We're still continuing to see, it's been close to a year of, very sharp price erosion, even if I were to exclude Mupirocin. Do you think we are close to the bottom, or could this continue for some more time, particularly for derma?
Neha, we've seen it as pretty much as high as 15%, right? And however, we have seen this, we believe that this has now stabilized, and we won't see it as aggressive moving forward.
And the 15%, I'm assuming, obviously, is year on year.
Exactly, year on year.
Okay, understood. And my second question is on, the reduction in other expenses. If I were to strip out our R&D, obviously, there's a very large reduction, largely because of lower spending, I'm assuming, in our branded markets. How should we look at, our cost optimization efforts, keeping aside the, sort of one-time savings that we have seen in the first quarter?
So, Neha, this is Mani here. So, I think, if you look at it broadly, the SG&A expenses have come down quite substantially. But then, again, over the last couple of years, we've been working a lot on the other expenses. So, I think a substantial amount of this reduction, we should see it continuing into the coming quarters in the current year. So I think, in a way, we've been working on this for some time in terms of our indirect costs and our SG&A and et cetera. And now it's all the more more focused and more driven towards being pretty lean and mean in terms of those expenses. Okay, so it's pretty much across the board. Okay, if you look at it.
Manisha, when you say substantial portion of this should continue, could you quantify that? I mean, 20%, 50%, what proportion in your
rather view? Rather, the other way to put it is, see, we could look at our EBITDA as being close to 19 to 20%, so that's the better way to put it. So we see that, you know, at least a good, you know, previous years or last quarters, we used to be at about 16-17, so we have seen a good expansion of 2 to 3% coming out of all this, okay. So that's how I look at it.
Okay, so you're saying on a sustainable basis, we can still do 19-20% EBITDA?
We feel very strongly about that, yeah.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you. Participants, if you have a question, please press star then one on your touchtone telephone. The next question is from the line of Nitin Agarwal from IDFC Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for taking my question. Glenn, on the U.S. business, you know, we've got now a pipeline, as you mentioned, of 44 ANDAs pending approval. Now, this is a reasonably thin pipeline if you're looking at about 10 new approvals sort of coming through every year. And especially in the context of how, you know, where most of our peer set is sort of positioned right now. So where does U.S. sort of, U.S. generics fit in the overall scheme of things for Glenmark when you take a 3 to 5 year view of business?
I think, Nitin, it continues to be an attractive business. It's not that we are taking our foot off the pedal or anything of that type. So we still see U.S. generics as a important piece of Glenmark going forward. I think the pipeline, you know, specifically we've just become much more focused on products which are differentiated and which make a difference, right? I think it's more important to get the right products approved than file a host of products every year. So our view is a little different on how we look at the U.S. business and how we want to play the U.S. going forward.
And in terms of growth on this business, you know, we've been stuck in this $100 million plus or minus range for a while now on a quarterly basis. Where does this thing really end up? I mean, do we see a meaningful accretion on it, or it's going to be stuff that is products which are getting eroded, getting replaced on a consistent basis, but we more or less stay around these levels? Is there a fair way to look at it?
I think Q1, we've seen the bottom, Nitin. So from Q2 onwards, as Robert mentioned, you should see, you know, Q over Q growth in the U.S. business. And then I think on a sustained basis, a lot will depend on the new product approvals that we'll get to drive growth longer term. Yeah, go ahead.
Right. So, sorry. On the, you know, other part of three, which is earlier discussed around the cost reductions. So you know, how should we look at R&D now? You know, this is a first quarter where I don't know. Okay, so two things. One is, A, these R&D cost reductions, were it partly influenced by the COVID sort of disruptions in terms of clinical trials and all not really going through? Or how should we look at R&D, both innovation and generics for the year going forward?
So, Nitin, just to address it, even in the last call, we had said that we continue to focus on R&D, but we will be very very careful about the way we spend, you know. So we talked about 11-odd%. So we'll be somewhere there, you know. We will not try and let it go up too much, okay. So and obviously the proportion what we normally do, 6-7% of basically the innovation and 4-5% of generics, that will continue. So I mean, you might see a little bit here and there, but broadly we'll be there. And in terms of amount of spend, obviously, as the quarters go and the turnover goes up, there'll be little extra spend, but we'll try and keep this pretty much well within these levels, okay? We won't let it go beyond this.
So, Mani, you mean you say at these levels, you mean 11% of revenues or in absolute terms around the...
Yeah, about 11% of the revenues, not absolute terms. I mean, this first quarter is a little lower, but otherwise, absolute terms, we'll try and keep it around 11%.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. Participants, if you have a question, please press star then one on your touchtone telephone. Next question is from the line of Prakash Agarwal from Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning. Just on Ichnos, we mentioned that you know, the expectation of fundraising by second half of the year. So on these assets, we've been looking to raise some capital in the past as well. What is giving us confidence that we'll be able to close by end of this year? Are we already in talks, or what is the progress here, please?
Prakash, this is a capital raise. This is the first time we are attempting it. Okay. So we have not tried to do anything in the past. But just to, so you know, we've now appointed a banker, right, who will help us with the capital raise in the US. We are hoping to close it in the second half of this financial year.
Yeah, when I meant in the past, molecule level, we've been looking to out-license, right? So
that still continues, Prakash, and we still continue to have various partnering discussions with a number of companies. But that's besides the capital raise. So there are two elements to Ichnos. One is the partnerships, and the second is raising equity capital, right? We are working on both angles.
Okay, so this, so the earlier one was at molecule level. This is at entity level, raising money in the U.S. markets is what you mean.
Absolutely.
Okay, and what is the size you are looking at?
So we can't comment on that, Prakash.
Okay. And secondly, if I look at, you know, your other income and, you know, statement you made on VWash income, so I understand that's only the gain part of it which you have, you know, reported on the other income side. Looking at net debt, the, you know, because of maybe rupee dollar it is flat, but on dollar terms, how would that move? Could you give us some color, please?
In terms of dollar terms, we told now that on a constant currency or otherwise it would be about 180 crores. So with the dollar thing, it is still 150. So I mean, even if there was about a 30 crore move in the debt because of the rupee having depreciated in this quarter, last quarter it was something like 74, this quarter it ended at 75.22. So there was a move in it on that.
So 150 crores is the CC term debt reduction.
Yeah, 150 is there. And if you were to take it, strip out the currency impact, it would be almost 180.
Right, understand. And lastly, on you know, the margin front, I think something was covered on the cost side. How, you know, going forward, what is the cost? How will cost increase? But if you could just give us some color on how the margin trajectory should be. We are now, you know, stable at 16% base business, and how should we look at it going forward, given the statement you made, you know, that US could start growing, and I think your domestic business is growing well. So what is the outlook on margins?
So that's the reason why it gives us confidence. There are two, three things. One, we look at the markets improving. Secondly, also, you know, also our realizations improving. Secondly, also on the cost side, if you recollect, even over the years, we've got some good handle on that side. So we used to be 30%, now came down to 28%. Of course, this quarter is much lower. But on an overall basis, we look at a EBITDA margin of close to 19-20%. That's where we are very confident and feel strongly about that.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Participants, if you have a question, please press star then one on your touchtone telephone. The next question is from the line of Shyam Srinivasan from Goldman Sachs.
Hi, thank you for taking my question. Good morning. First one is on the India business. I think 4Q we had the benefit of stocking up. We have seen slight softish trends in the June quarter. Just want to understand on the path forward on the India business, how is, say, July, August kind of trending for you?
Good morning. So in quarter one, we did the growth was close to the IPVR growth, of course. Quarter two, we picked up, performed the market. And also, again, you know, we're not quite sure how much.
Robert, I think...
Robert, your line is a little distorted. So I'll take that question. So Shyam, second quarter... obviously, with the launch of FabiFlu, we are seeing a good run in the India business, right? And we think that will help Q2 onwards.
Yeah, so Glenn, just on this, we have seen a lot of competitors also put in their, their offering to the market and prices which have kind of sharply come. I know you have launched also a better compliance version, but just can you walk us through, how large could this opportunity be? Anything that you could share on Fabi would be helpful just to understand the addressable opportunity.
Did you
so
want me
to
give it a shot?
Go ahead, Robert. Let's try again. Yeah, go ahead.
It doesn't work. Just stop me, okay?
Okay.
So, again, I think, we are truly excited about Fabi Flu, right? And it's doing really well, and it's been a great story for Glenmark. And, it's at this stage, from a top-line perspective, we are not 100% exactly sure where it will take us. But for sure, we are very, very optimistic in terms of the year ahead.
Okay. And my second question is on Realtris. I believe you have responded to the CRL, right? The MD&A says there is some is currently under review. Is that understanding right? This is for the US.
No, you said we have responded to the CRL. Is what you're saying?
Yeah, that's the question, Jason. Yeah.
So Shyam, we have collected all the information. We have not yet, we are awaiting to hear from the FDA. We are all ready with it, but we are still awaiting to hear from the FDA.
Okay, and is there any timelines that you would attribute to the Realtors in the US?
I mean, it's a next calendar year event, Shyam. Mostly
okay.
Second half of next year. Calendar year.
Got it. Thank you. And my last question is on the life sciences business. Given the kind of trends we have seen for some of the, the rest of the business, two parts to it. One is, what's the outlook for this business? Is it that you're doing a lot of insourcing for Glenmark Pharmaceuticals only, or how are you seeing third-party sales? And two, is there a possibility of the capital raise that was kind of probably put on the back burner? Would that come back on the life sciences side? Thank you.
Sorry. Can you just, as far as Glenmark Life Sciences, I think there's no current plan to go out and raise any capital, right? That's been on the back burner and will continue to stay in the back burner. The second part of your question, I couldn't pick up. Can you just repeat that?
Yeah. So, then just in terms of the API trend for the industry has been quite strong. Yeah. So, just want to see what you're seeing on third-party sales. Maybe many of them we're using for our own consumption, Glenmark Pharma consumption.
Correct.
I just wanted to understand how you're seeing your, your therapy areas on the API side. How are they kind of?
Yeah, I think on the API side, see, Q1 was a soft quarter because on external sales, primarily because of a lot of our capacity has got utilized in manufacturing of Favi, right, for the launch. But I think Q2 we should be back in terms of seeing good growth coming out of the API side of the business.
Thank you and all the best.
Thank you. Participants, if you have a question, please press star then one on your touchtone telephone. Next question is from the line of Sayan Mukherjee from Nomura. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, morning. Thanks for taking my question. So basically, can you, I just missed the inventory number, if you can share that. And secondly, it seems that receivables have gone up, or working capital seems to have gone up despite, there is a meaningful, slowdown this quarter. Can you just explain that? Are there any stresses in receivables, etc.?
No, I don't see any stress or anything. It's just quarter-to-quarter kind of thing, So I don't see it as such a big issue. And also inventory across the industry, everybody has seen some rises, okay? So it's not like, in fact, ours is a little lower. So I wouldn't put it beyond that. There's no stress in. And normally our receivables have always been pretty clean and we never had many issues.
And what is the inventory number, sir?
2185 crores.
Okay. And secondly, can you, give some detail on this VWash sale to Unilever in the quarter? I'm slightly confused in terms of, the consumer number that you've shared, that's 31 crore, right, in this quarter. That seems to be a lot down year on year, like around 40% down, and correct me if that number is right. So I thought like VWash sale happened only towards the end of quarter. So am I missing something here?
I think the transition, Shyam, during the transition, right, you know, because of the lockdown, right, there were sales which were slowed down in the quarter, right, because it was a transition to HUL, right. But I think going forward, sales will come back, right, on the GCC business.
Okay. So this 31 crore number that we have for this quarter, do you think this will sustain or like adjusted now next quarter onwards, VWash will not be there at all or it will be more or less? Like how should we think about it?
I mean, the portfolio without VWash is about a 140, 150 crore portfolio this year, right?
Okay.
So you should expect growth from next quarter.
Absolutely.
And can you share the amount of money we got from the sale of this VWash in this quarter?
No, actually, Sian, as per the agreement, we are not supposed to disclose the amount. So that's the reason why.
Okay, but have you received all of it this quarter or how is it? Or is there a staggered payment?
Some of the portion we'll receive later, okay. So it happens. And also, we also receive the monies in terms of supply of goods, in terms of percentage of sales, so those are also there, you know, and some portion of the upfront is still there. These are all there.
Okay, but you would say most of it has been received, or most of it will come later. I mean, in terms of quantum,
a decent amount has been already received. Yeah.
Okay, and is there any other transaction which was there which helped cash flow this quarter other than HUVR?
No, other than that, it's purely the business that's actually helped.
Okay.
In the way we managed our cost side and overall, that's helped us.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Participants, if you have a question, please press star then one on your touchtone telephone. The next question is from the line of Alankar Garude from Macquarie. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, everyone. Glenn, the first question is on ROW and LATAM. Both these geographies were pretty impacted in the first quarter, not just on a year-on-year basis, but particularly on a sequential basis, there was a very sharp fall. But yeah, maybe sequential comparison might not make sense. So, but going ahead, can you comment on what is the base kind of run rate for these geographies, these segments, excluding the currency impact?
Robert, sorry, we can't hear you. I don't know whether
there's some
Alankar,
distortion
you
in your line.
Alankar, can you hear him?
No, I can't.
Okay. So I think Glenn, you
know. Okay, so Alankar, Robert, I'll just take it because I think your line is a little distorted. I don't know why. But I think Alankar, just to answer your question on LATAM and ROW, see, in Q1, there were two major impacts, okay, that we saw in LATAM and ROW. One is the whole COVID situation, right, was, you know, because of the lockdowns, it was pretty severe in terms of sales drops in these geographies. Second is currency, right? So it was two hits that we took. From Q2 onwards, we see, you know, both these geographies coming back. So you will see growth coming back from Q2 onwards, right? YOY growth, right? And sequential growth in both Latin America as well as in Europe.
Understood. That's helpful, Glenn. And second question is on, so last quarter we had mentioned that we would be signing at least one out-licensing deal in the US in this fiscal. So are we on track as far as that is concerned?
We still maintain that we're trying our best to close at least one out-licensing this year.
Understood. Thanks, Glenn. All the best.
Thank you. Reminder to the participants, if you have a question, please press star then one. The next question is from the line of Harit Ahmed from Spark Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi. Good morning. So when you talk about the parent company's investment in Ichnos this quarter, so 175 crores for this quarter, trying to understand the cash burn a little better. Is this investment corresponding to the R&D spend at Ichnos, or is there a component of SG&A that is being funded?
No, there is no SG&A or anything. It's purely the R&D effort, that's it.
Okay. And then on Glenmark Life Sciences, the external sales growth of 2% this quarter. Quite a few API players have commented on greater demand as customers diversify from China. Did we see some of that queries on account of that? And do you think this China plus one strategy will be a driver for the API business?
So I think, can you just repeat the question again, please?
A lot of API players have commented that their customers are trying to diversify their sourcing away from China to some extent. Are we seeing some of that? And do you think this can be a driver for Glenmark Life Sciences?
Sure, absolutely. I think going forward, even otherwise also people, those who are, backward integrated have always looked at it, and now there is a good opportunity. So I think all of us look at it that way, okay?
Okay, and finally, any update on the warning letter at Baddi? Have we received any communication from the FDA?
We are still working on a resolution there.
Okay, that's all from my side. Thanks.
Thank you. Participants, if you have a question, please press star then one on your touchtone telephone. The next question is from the line of Jigar Shah from Maybank. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning and congratulations for a good set of numbers. My question pertains to the ICNOS life sciences, ICNOS research activity. The position generally Glenmark has taken over the years is fairly, if I may say, contrarian in terms of a lot of NCE expenditure. Now, given this COVID situation, suddenly everybody has realized that basic research will be very important. So do you think that really helps our plan to better capitalize this activity?
No, look, see, ICONOS is a cutting-edge biotech company, right, which is doing cutting-edge research in the U.S., Switzerland, and various geographies. It has a huge technology advantage with the bispecifics, trispecific antibody platforms, right, which is world-class, right? So our investment into ICONOS over the years, we think is a very valuable investment, and I think with the capital raise, it will unlock a lot of value and actually ascribe a value for ICONOS, right, and whatever investments we've made in that entity. So Glenmark will still, in the near term at least, be a majority shareholder. So I think it will help the company actually get exposure to a great innovative platform and an innovative franchise, which, clearly not too many Indian companies have, right? So it's an exciting portfolio for us.
Okay. Thanks. That was useful and wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, if you have a question, please press star then one on your touchtone telephone. The next question is from the line of Chirag Dagli from HDFC Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. This EBITDA margin guidance, is this like a long-term aspiration or is this something that we see immediately in FY21?
So we see it in FY21. And obviously that's always aspiration for every company to improve, and we were there at that level, and we will, and again we have shown over the last couple of quarters that we are able to improve our efficiencies, and as the sales growth also comes into play and we are more efficient in the way we use our resources, I think it's something that is doable.
Understood. So there is a very sharp dip in stock in trade purchases, and there is a commensurate increase in own raw material consumed. It's a fairly sharp number. What used to be 10-11% of sales is down to 2%. Can you just, sort of clarify what's happening there?
So you, we see it, from quarter to quarter, you can't really, plan it that way, So sometimes you buy inventory a little in advance. So obviously, when the COVID thing started, people would have gone ahead and bought a few things. So, year is the best way to look at it rather than a quarter to quarter.
So this will unwind in the rest of the three quarters.
Yes, it will unwind, and obviously, and the aspiration is always to make materials yourself, but always all companies have the policy of make or buy, okay, and we go by that.
Understood. And did you in the call indicate Ryaltris is a 2H calendar year 21 approval expectation plan?
Yeah, so I think that's our goal, right, to try and get it approved in second half of next year.
Understood.
In the U.S. So, Chirag, just to clarify, look, Ryaltris will contribute in FY22 quite substantially because of all the approvals that we've got already, right? So be it Australia, South Africa, and various geographies. We also expect Europe we filed, right? So end of this year, FY21, we will start seeing European approvals coming through. So FY22 should be a good year for Ryaltris overall. But the US approval we anticipate will get pushed out to, second half of calendar 22. Calendar
22.
Sorry.
Understood. So when we look at all these other markets, Europe included, ex-US, can this pot be as large as the US? On a sustainable basis, say, a couple of years out.
I would think this is a substantial opportunity for us, right? I mean, I can't give you the specific numbers, but this will be a significant contributor to the company over the next 4-5 years.
But when you think of the asset itself, a majority part of the monetization should happen in the U.S.
No, not necessary, Chirag. This is a, it's an allergic rhinitis product, right? So you can imagine there are many geographies like Russia, CIS, Latin America, Europe, for instance, right, where realizations are very good.
Understood. And in our current Q1 base, if you can just, sort of help us understand how big is Mupirocin now and how big is the dermatology portfolio in this space of $95 million?
I mean, dermatology will be around 30% of sales now, about 30-35%, all put together.
35% of sales. And this includes Mupirocin.
This is only a ballpark number. Yeah, this includes Mupirocin.
Okay. Versus, say, 4 quarters back, Glenn, what would this have been?
My guess is around 45. At the peak, we were around 45, trending around 45-50%.
Understood. Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, if you have a question, please press star then 1 on your touchtone telephone. The next question is from the line of Vishal Manchandana from Nirmal Bang. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. Basically, on Europe and Latin America, could you share what percentage of your sales would be from in-licensed products?
So, if you take Europe, roughly about 40-45% would be all in-licensed products, yeah?
And Latin America?
Latin America also, it will not be that much. It will be around 25% max.
Okay. And like we continue to spend on intangibles every year. Basically, that is, as I understand, is in licensing of products. So basically, want to understand what would have been the cumulative investment into intangibles related to in licensing of product opportunities.
So a substantial amount of our whatever intangibles we have gone into basically in licensing of products. So, I mean, on a yearly basis, normally we do about 200 odd crores, and that's where we are. And that's how we have grown our business well there.
We have some exciting products like Salmex, Tiotropium, DPI, so lots of exciting products getting launched this year and helping this year and next year, right, coming out of the in-license portfolio. In Europe, plus other markets also.
Okay, thank you. And just one more, on the Monroe facility, is all the cost into the structure now, or there is still operational cost being capitalized?
Basically, now the oral solids has gone online, so that's basically right down. So, and the rest of them, the injectable will happen sometime in the coming quarters. And only the nebulizer will be left out, that's it. But a large amount will start getting operationalized in the current year itself.
And we'll still be able to do the guided numbers on EBITDA margin around 18-19%.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. And just what was the capex during the quarter?
Total asset additions was 130 crores.
Okay. Thank you. That's all from me.
Thank you. Participants, if you have a question, please press star then one on your touchtone telephone. The next question is from the line of Damayanti Kerai from HSBC. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good morning. Thank you for the opportunity. Just coming back on Monroe, so you just mentioned you should be launching a large part of products this year. So we should expect cost break-even to happen this fiscal year itself. Is that the correct assumption?
See, Damayanti, the way to look at it is we'll operationalize it completely and we'll also look at how the products take off, etc. So I think normally the first year of any plant being launched, especially US, etc., you need to get a sense and a handle on that. We believe we have some decent products lined up. So as the year goes by, it'll be a better position to really, you know, to give a fix how quickly we'll break even completely. But we are very excited about this opportunity, yeah.
In terms of launches, we should be making substantial progress. That should we take, and then as the sales pick up, we should look at the cost coverage part.
Exactly.
Okay. And just a clarification on the U.S. Generic pricing erosion. So are we seeing, severe pricing pressure across the portfolio, or it's more on the derma side, and then we have kind of stabilized pricing for the OSD?
I think the rest of the portfolio has stabilized, okay, right? It's only the derm where we saw significant erosion, and I think that also was in Q1. From a Q2 onwards, we think, you know, you should have stable price erosion going forward.
Okay, and I understand first quarter derm sales obviously were impacted due to COVID lockdown and all. So in the US now, we should be seeing pickup happening, right? And okay, so by second half, we should be broadly back on the normal course of operation.
Absolutely.
Okay. And a final comment on the debt reduction part, 180 crore in constant currency this quarter. So how should we look for the full year? And if you can talk about your target in longer term.
So let me say, the way we look at it, we see a reduction quarter on quarter. So we'll see, and as the business also improves, we should see it. Difficult to put numbers, but I think we definitely see a very positive way of looking at this overall.
Okay, so mostly debt reduction coming from the cash from our operation. There may be little contribution from some asset sale or some other opportunities.
Yeah, going forward, definitely there it will be more from the business side and the cash to the business generated. That should help us too.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for clarification.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, if you have a question, please press star then one on your touchtone telephone. The next question is from the line of Nitin Agarwal from IDFC Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my question. Just on CapEx, Mani, where should we see CapEx for the year now and next year? Any broad guidance on that?
Yeah, as we are guided, see, we are hoping to keep it at about, all in all, you know, I mean, the highest would be around 700 crores or so, you know, or little more thereabouts, you know. I mean, it'll be much lower than the years that we went through. So we'll be somewhere there.
Including the intangible?
Yeah, including all. And I think I'd guided in the last call about 700 to 800. We'll try and keep it on the lower end. Yeah. We'll see.
And this is where it should stay in the coming years or in the next couple of years also around these levels?
I would assume so, yeah, Nitin, because we also want to be quite tight on the way we do things.
That's helpful. And secondly, Glenn, on Fabiflu, any perspectives on global supply opportunity on this product?
So right now it's small, Nitin. We are, you know, looking at export opportunities, but it's relatively small.
And lastly, on EU, how should we look at, I mean, it's been a fairly steady performer over the last few quarters now. So where are we on the whole inhaler scale up there, and how should we see this business now, say, this year and next year?
Robert, you want to try again?
Sorry, I didn't. Yeah, Ken, can I just get the question again, please?
Yes, so I was asking around the European outlook for the business, outlook for the European business this year and next year, and how is the whole inhaler scale up playing out for us?
Okay, thank you. Thanks for the question. So yes, you know, I think if you look at this coming quarter two, we do expect the softer, potentially weaker quarter, you know, due to one of our products, Atorvaquone Progranil, which has been impacted through the travel restrictions that we have across Europe. However, you know, we are still optimistic that we'll continue to grow in high single digit, potentially low double digits for the year ahead.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Participants, if you have a question, please press star then one on your touchtone telephone. The next question is from the line of Sion Mukherjee from Nomura. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the follow-up. So, Glenn, I think on continuing on the European business, particularly on inhaler, on Salmex, you know, can you just take us through, like, what's the size and what kind of market share you have in some of these Nordic countries? And I understood it was a substitutable product. And what's happening for launches in the rest of the Europe, given the, you know, litigation we had with Glaxo earlier in markets like Germany and others? If you can just update, and how should we see Salmex, like, you know, growing from the current levels?
I'll take that, and maybe Glenn, you can build on it. But you know, we have now settled with GSK, and Salmex is doing well, and we will continue to be pretty aggressive on the products. We have relaunched now in multiple markets, Czechoslovakia, Germany. We are looking at launching in the Netherlands. And then also we will continue in the Nordics and the UK. So all in all, we'll continue to be aggressive and we have high expectations. But since a lot of this is still in early stages of re-entering, it's difficult to give you the extent of what this would be.
Okay, but currently the market shares would be in single digit, I guess. Would that be a right assessment?
Yeah, it'll be low, Shah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Depends on where. Yeah.
Okay. And also on tiotropium DPI, what is the timeline and how should we see and what's the size, if you can, you know, indicators for your...
So it's a big product, Shah. Yeah, go ahead, Robert. Go ahead.
No, it's fine. No, I was also just going to say, yes, it will be a big product for us, and we're expecting that the impact will be primarily in the next financial year. And then you can build on that, yeah?
So launch may be earlier, Shyam, but the real impact will be next year in sales.
And are there any patent issues here, or and what is the competitive landscape?
So it's hard to comment on patent issues, Shyam. Competitor landscape, obviously, we probably will be first generic again, like Salmex, right, with the DPI version.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. We take the last question from the line of Chirag Dagli from HDFC Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yes, so thank you for the opportunity. So is there a timeline that you want to share with us on the Ichnos capital raise?
So, Chirag, we started the process. We've appointed a banker, and we've just initiated talking to investors, right? But we've clearly said that we're giving ourselves till the second half of this year, this financial year, to close it.
Okay. And what was the operating cash flow for the first quarter?
So, in terms of operating cash flow, we've seen an EBITDA, right, for 78 crores. And obviously, we had basically the interest costs of about 80 crores, cash tax of about 120 crores, and some increase in basically the working capital and the capex of 180 crores. Yeah. So, broadly, it kind of trends towards the 180 crores of the improvement in the debt is what is there.
Okay. Now, is there a tax guide, a tax rate guidance, both P&L and cash flow that you want to share for full year?
Broadly, it will be about 28-29%.
And the cash tax will also remain similar?
Broadly, yes. Give and take a percentage up or down, yeah.
Understood. All right, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Jason D'Souza for closing comments.
Thank you, moderator. We just read the disclaimer. The information, statement, and analysis made during this call describing company's objectives, projections, and estimates are forward-looking statements and project and progressive within the meanings of applicable security laws and regulation. The analysis contained herein is based on numerous assumptions. Actual results may vary from those expressed or implied depending upon economic conditions, government policies, and other incidental factors. No representation or warranty, either expressed or implied, is provided in relation to this presentation. This presentation should not be regarded as by recipients as a substitute for the exercise of their own judgment. With this, we end Glenmark's Q1 earnings call. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you. On behalf of Glenmark Pharmaceuticals Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you all for joining. You may now disconnect your lines.